Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome all of you to our conference call. The underlying presentation of the call has been published this morning at 7:30 A.M. CET on our homepage. Today, we released the statement for the first three months of financial year 2022/2023. We are going to present the highlights of the period and revisit our full year group guidance for business year 2022/2023 that has been released or raised, that is to say, on 15th of June. Following the call, we are going to answer your questions. A recording of the call will be available on our homepage shortly after the call. Now, let me hand over to Südzucker's CFO, Thomas Kölbl.
Thank you, Nikolai. Ladies and gentlemen, also warm welcome from my side. As mentioned, I would like to give you a brief overview about the business performance in the first three months of financial year 2022/2023, and details about the guidance for full financial year 2022/2023. Let me start with the highlights of the first three months results on page four. First of all, let me point out that we are facing additional challenges and uncertainties since the Ukraine war started end of February, and this situation will certainly impact all the rest of the fiscal year in many ways. Despite these challenges, we have seen a very good quarter one performance for almost all business areas. Group revenues showed an increase of 30%. Group EBITDA was up by 115 to 236 million euro, and group operating result followed that development by an increase of 114 to 163 million euro. Cash flow increased by 91% and reached 183 million euro. Earnings per share after three months came in at 0.43 against 0.07 last year. Net financial debt end of May came in 67 million euro below prior year's level and 108 million euro lower against end of business year 2021/2022. Now, let's have a first look into the segmental performance on page five before we get into more detail segment by segment. The revenues increased significantly by around 500 million euro. All segments contributed to this increase. Group operating result increased by more than 100%, while the operating result in the special product segment decreased significantly. All other segments contributed to the substantial increase in operating result. Let's continue with segment sugar on page seven. First of all, let me revisit our view on the global sugar market. Its latest update in June 2022, IHS Markit has confirmed its deficit outlook for running sugar marketing year 2021/2022, 1.9 million tons, which confirms another deficit year. Stock-to-use ratio is expected to drop from 39%-37%. For the next sugar marketing year, 2022/2023, the forecast shows an almost balanced market with a stable stock-to-use ratio at 37%. This confirms a positive fundamental market environment for at least the next 12 months. Let's have a look at the European sugar market environment on page eight. The EU has changed to a net importer since campaign 2018, which has led already to three steps of price increases in the last three sugar marketing years. Looking at the significant further spot price increase in the last six months, we monitor several reasons. First, the world market price as the fundamental pricing starting point has increased. Second, we expect another year of decreasing EU acreage. Third, overall cost inflation leads to higher procurement price for the whole industry. In this environment, close to 100% of our volume of the campaign 2022 is up for negotiation. Now, let's have a look into the concrete development in segment sugar in the first three months on page nine. Revenue increased significantly, mainly due to higher sales volumes and sales revenues. Operating results shows a small positive number, reflecting an improvement by 26 million euro against last year. It was burdened by a substantial rise in raw material, energy, and packaging costs. Let me continue with segment special products on page 10. In the first 3 months, revenues increased significantly due to an overall increase in sales volumes and sales prices. Operating result, as expected, came in significantly below last year's level. The main drivers were charges for significantly higher raw material, packaging, and energy costs, which so far could only be passed on to customers in part or with time lag. Let me now turn to segment Drop Energies on page 11. Revenues in segment Drop Energies were up sharply. Higher sales volumes and sales revenues contributed to the revenue growth. Operating result developed in line with sales volumes and sales revenues and increased significantly in quarter one. The higher sales revenues and sales volumes more than offset the significant rise in raw material and energy costs. The exceptionally good operating result was mainly due to price hedges for raw materials and energies, which were concluded before the start of the Ukraine war and the associated sharp rise in raw material and energy prices. The average ethanol price in the first quarter was at €1,155 against €587 per cubic meter in quarter 1, 2021-22. The average ethanol price in June was €1,274 against €657 per cubic meter in June 21. In July, we see so far still a high price level of about €1,250 per cubic meter. Let's move on to segment starch on page 12. Revenues in segment starch came in significantly above previous year's level due to significantly higher ethanol pricing. In line with the development of revenues, operating result after 3 months increased significantly too. Also here, substantially higher raw material and energy costs were more than offset by significant sales revenue growth. Price-hedged raw materials had a positive impact in quarter one. Let's move on to segment fruit on page 13. Revenues in segment fruit were no exception in the general positive segmental revenues development, showing a significant increase too. This price-related increase was supported by both fruit juice concentrates and food preparations. Operating result came in significantly above last year's level. The profit contribution from food preparations declined as a result of lower volumes and higher costs. By contrast, significantly higher margins for fruit juice concentrates led to a substantial increase in the operating result contribution. Here, sales volumes were slightly higher and significantly higher prices more than offset the increased costs. Let me now turn to the main points in the P&L on page 15 and page 16. Starting with page 15, the at-equity result was almost driven by segments sugar and starch. Since quarter one of fiscal 22-23, NFMAN has been reported as other investments, as the criteria for at-equity measurement are no longer met. As a result of this discontinuation of at-equity consolidation, currency gains of around €10 million previously recognized directly in equity were recognized in the P&L. The financial result came in at minus €12 million. It contains the net interest expense of minus €8 million and the other financial result of minus €4 million. Let's continue on page 16. Taxes on income came in at €38 million after €9 million in the same period last year. Earnings per share came in at €0.43 against €0.07 in the prior year. Let me now turn to the cash flow, working capital, and investment development on page 18. Cash flow increased in the first 3 months to 183 million euro. The cash flow against revenues ratio improved in quarter one to 8% against 5.5% in quarter 21-22. The cash inflow of 39 million euro from decline in working capital was mainly due to the sale of sugar inventories. Investments in fixed assets reached 65 million euro against 55 million euro in the last year. Investments in financial assets and acquisitions represent mainly the announced acquisition of Meatless in the Netherlands in the amount of 49 million euro. Let me now move forward looking at the balance sheet on page 20. Net financial debt end of May was reduced by 67 million euro against prior year's level and is down 108 million euro against end of February 22. Investments in fixed and financial assets and profit distribution were fully financed from cash flow and cash inflow from working capital. Gearing is at 33% against 40% 1 year ago. Equity ratio is at 48% against 46% in the prior year. Let me now turn to the outlook on pages 22 to 25. After a successful start in the current fiscal, we have adjusted our initial full-year forecast upwards June 15th. Ladies and gentlemen, let me put this adjusted forecast in the context of the current environment. The war in Ukraine, which has continued from the beginning of fiscal 22-23 to the present day, has further intensified the already high volatility on the sales market and price increases on the procurement markets. The resulting economic and financial impact and the duration of this temporary exceptional situation remained difficult to assess. In addition, there are still risks in connection with the corona pandemic. Therefore, the forecast continues to be based on the assumptions that the war in Ukraine will remain temporary and regionally limited, that despite the current developments, the physical supply of energy and raw materials is assured, and that the sales and procurement markets will return to normal to some extent in fiscal 22-23. We also assume that the declaration of the gas emergency plan alert in Germany will not have any significant negative impact on prices. We expect the significant price increases, especially in raw material and energy, to be passed on to new customer contracts. Ladies and gentlemen, having said that, now to the concrete numbers. Group revenues should now come in at 8.9 to 9.3 billion euros and operating result now in a range between 400 and 500 million euros. Segment Sugar should see a break-even result in H1. And an increasing operating result in H2. On full-year basis, we expect an earnings range between 0 and 100 million euro. Segment Special Products operating result is now expected to come in slightly above the previous level. Segment Group Energy's operating result is now expected to range between 165 and 215 million euro. And Segment Starch see now a slightly higher operating result. Segment Food should be burdened by the charges from the Ukraine war and therefore continues to expect significantly lower earnings. Let me continue with page 24. Group EBITDA should follow the positive operating result development. CapEx is expected to increase. Net financial debt is expected to be above prior year's level, reflecting substantially higher investments in fixed assets against last year, some investments in financial assets, and higher working capital needs in light of the inflationary environment and disruptions in the supply chain. Finally, I would like to summarize our presentation with three statements on page 26. First, the sugar turnaround is due to continue driving group earnings improvement. Second, our diversified portfolio will be able to help managing the additional challenges caused by the Ukraine war. And third, structural cash flow opens up new opportunities to shape Südzucker's future. Thank you all for your attention.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. I would like to hand over to the operator to open up for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question is from the line of Oliver Schwarz from Warburg Research. Please go ahead. Please go ahead, sir.
Sorry, I was muted.
Or unmute yourself, I would have said.
Yeah, you were perfectly right. I was perfectly stupid. So good morning, gentlemen. Congratulations on your Q1 results. And a couple of questions from my side. I like to take them one by one so that we don't run into any confusion. It seems like the CapEx level for the full year has increased by 50 million from 400 to 450 million without the impact of M&A transactions. Is that due to your, let's say, expectations in regarding to inflation and hence also higher prices for given projects? Or have you added CapEx projects to drive the number up to 450 million?
Oliver, I think both parts are right. We have inflationary effects as well as new CapEx program to increase capacities.
Okay, very well. In starch, it seems like the let's say the guidance of the company Agrana as well as the guidance of Südzucker seem to be a bit out of tune. While you are expecting a result that is slightly ahead of last year's level, Agrana expects its result in the segment starch to decline slightly. So basically, that should be the impact of the German operations, which is not part of Agrana Group. Can you talk me through the different mechanics that affect those two businesses to understand why Agrana is more negative than you are?
You can't directly compare, let me say, these messages. First, Südzucker is guiding operating profit, and Agrana is guiding EBIT. And so there is the consolidation of the Hungrana activities, the starch and isoglucose and ethanol produced in Hungary. So you can't directly compare the numbers.
Yeah, but from what I'm seeing in regard to ethanol prices and profitability of the ethanol business, that business should and obviously has impacted Agrana results positively in Q1. Obviously, I'm not quite sure what they are expecting for the remainder of the year, but so far that would, let's say, make the discrepancy between your guidance and Agrana's guidance even, let's say, larger rather than smaller.
Let us double check that. We will
okay.
Come back on that in the individual call. It's too complex.
Yeah, I appreciate it. No problem.
Yeah.
And again, talking about prices, and this time obviously sugar is very high on the agenda. It seems like the spot prices in Europe have somewhat completely decoupled from firstly contract prices, which is understandable, obviously, as they are fixed, but also from world market prices. It seems at the current spread, even imports, let's say, that are highly adversely punished by additional charges, even let's say even deliveries from Brazil should start to make sense at the current level. And I'm just obviously there is logistic restraints. Obviously there is a shortage on transportation vessels and so on and so forth. But how sustainable do you think is that discrepancy between the world market price and the EU spot price, which seems to, let's say, near almost double the level of the international market price?
Oliver, how sustainable that spread is hard to predict. It depends on, let me say, the further volume development, the volume balance on a global scale, as well as the volume balance in the EU. We are facing, let me say, the fourth year in a row that the market is import, depending from imports. Then this is supported by these high prices. And in addition, we see this cost inflation. Currently a mix which strongly supports spot prices in the EU. And it's hard to predict how long that situation will stay, clearly.
Yeah, but let's just put your assumption that you presented for the global market into perspective, as you are expecting, let's say, a sugar balance for on a worldwide basis of just let's say having just a slight surplus of 0.9 million tons, so that should work rather, let's say, in favor of slightly declining global prices. And what we see in the EU after these steep ramp up to more than 900 euro per ton, we are now sitting at an incredible high discrepancy. We've seen that before in any of the given years that I plotted that chart.
Oliver, fully right. As said, this is a good framework globally. Yeah, the balance we have today with this extreme low stock to use ratio we have in that current situation, and clearly there's war in the Ukraine. There is disruptions in the supply chains. Customers are afraid to get enough volumes. So this is a very, very cloudy situation for the producers. Yeah, when we look on the other things, I think we'll later discuss on that. Yeah, and the needs of the customers, yeah, to have safety in their supply chain to deliver those products. And that is, let me say, I think a combination of all these factors. Yeah.
Okay, understood.
And when we are looking on the volume side, balance side, as said before, we have no signs that could change over the next 12 to 18 months. Yeah. And also clearly is EU will be a deficit market also in the next sugar market year 2022-23. We know everybody knows the acreage decrease on EU level, etc. So there are a lot of points which influence that discussed about.
Okay, understood. And lastly, in regard to your income on financial participations, if I understood you correctly, you referred to currency gains driving that result up to the level you reported. How sustainable is that? Is that, let's say, currency gains from hedges that reflect, let's say, the movements of the EU versus the US dollar? And given the current exchange rate, are we likely to see that trend to, let's say, continue into Q2? Or is it more likely that these numbers will get, let's say, lower while we go into the additional quarters of this year?
Oliver, it's a classical one-off. Yeah, it's linked to our participation in Eden F Man. Yeah, so far we accounted as equity. Yeah, and now we account it as other investments. Yeah, and that brings a recycling. Yeah, of the FX result, the currency gains of roughly 10 million euro, which previously was recognized directly in equity. And in quarter one was then booked in the P&L. But this is a one-off, final profit.
Okay, understood. Thank you for that. I go back into the queue.
And unmute yourself.
The next question is from the line of John Ennis from Goldman. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, everyone. I've got a couple of questions as well, and I'll stick with the format of taking them one by one. So my first is on crop energies. You mentioned that your hedges are, of course, going to fade as the year progresses. So can you maybe provide a bit more detail on the cost shape throughout the year? And on the sales price, what have you actually assumed as the ethanol price for this division on average to get to your guidance range? That's the first question.
Really, as said, in the first quarter, we profit from the hedges we did before the Ukraine war started. And we will also profit over the next quarter from that hedging, but not to that extent as we saw it in quarter one. Clearly, the effect will slow down. And from the ethanol side, we hedge to some extent prices, but clearly we have a backwardation curve in the market, and we in the guidance clearly the assumption is the price assumption is lower than the current market price.
Yeah, that's great. And then my second question was on the sort of beet cost for the farmers within the sugar division. Can you maybe give us a little bit of a view on how you see the beet cost developing for the next marketing year, given that other agricultural commodity prices have, of course, risen? Are there any additional premiums in excess of the usual profit sharing framework that you use that we should be aware of? That's the second one.
First of all, clearly, there is an extreme pressure on the whole value chain, also for the farmers. Their costs are increasing, fertilizer, etc., and energy also. On farmer side, there's the same pressure like on the industry factory side. Clearly, is with our assumption of a strong increase in sugar prices, farmers will profit from the formula price. That will bring beet prices along the formula up, and with the current view, I would say that potential for additional premiums with the current framework we have is limited.
Perfect. So just the usual beet formula, and then a follow-up question on, I suppose, the EU spot prices, really. I guess when you're running into renegotiating prices, the chart on slide 8 that you helpfully showed really identifies that the EU reporting price, I suppose, better matches the world price rather than the EU spot prices over a longer duration, which tend to be a bit more volatile. Is that a fair assumption to think of the world price as being a better proxy for your upcoming negotiations, or do you think there's something different this time around where the EU spot price might be a bit more relevant? Thanks.
Except that there are a lot of points which drive EU spot prices as well as contract prices. World market price is, let me say, the starting point, yeah. And then let me say on that is it's coming the import premium, and this is depending also on the situation then in the EU, foreign exchange rates, etc., logistic costs, yeah. So there are a lot of points which come in play, but the starting point is let me say the world market price. Yeah, but in the current framework, with the shortage in the European market, there is clearly room for an import premium.
Okay, that's helpful. So, I mean, if you look at that chart since 2018, I suppose the EU reporting price has been much closer to the world price, but you're saying there's a chance here that it could be.
When you're looking back to 2018-19, that time the European market was a surplus market, a heavy surplus market. The industry had at that time to export on the markets, and therefore was no room for premium in the European market. But over the last years, the setup has completely changed on the world market as well as on the European market. Yeah.
Understood. Thank you. That's all from me. So I'll let somebody else jump on the line. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from the line of Alex Sloan from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the questions. And sorry, I was a little late to the call. So apologies if you covered some of these already. But maybe just to pick up on a couple of those questions from John. The crop energies, I think you said that your guidance is assuming a price that is lower than the current market price. So maybe could you sort of quantify that as to what price levels the guidance range does imply? And then the second one, just trying to go a bit further again on the slide 8. I mean, I think previously you talked about 200 euro per ton uplift is what you were aiming for in the upcoming contracting round. As I understand it, the sort of the last contracting round, you sort of achieved sort of the mid 400s level, and obviously the spot price that you show is a lot more than 200 euros per ton higher than that. So what is the reason that I guess you can't go for more, and is the 200 per ton target still what we should be thinking about? Thanks.
The second question, the target is at least 200 euros a ton.
Sure.
Yeah, and to your crop energies question with the ethanol price in the guidance, no further disclosure than that what I said, that the assumed price is below the current market price.
Okay, thanks. And then just on the 900 euro per ton, are you able to kind of, I know that's, it's not necessarily quite like for like because it includes the transport costs. Can you actually break out what those transport costs would be roughly, so we sort of know what it is on a like for like basis at this point?
It's hard to predict, but the transport costs in this spot price with the higher costs we have today is surely close to 80-100 euro.
Okay. Very helpful. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Michael Schäfer from ODDO BHF. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question. I also raise them one by one, if you don't mind. On your outlook statement, there's one condition you're setting, basically that the whole gas situation in Germany, and I mean, we have seen the second level of emergency plan now raised a couple of weeks ago, and you're assuming that this should not have any significant impact on prices. Well, the reality is that it's rather different. So we have seen the opposite since basically the Russians stopped delivering 100% via Nord Stream. We have seen gas spot prices skyrocketing by 70% or something. So the question is, first of all, what makes you so confident on the is this linked to your hedging situation? If you can just remind us, I recall basically back at the Q4 call that your hedging for 22-23 was around 70%, which leaves an open position, obviously. Do you see this as a threat to your outlook statement? This would be my first question.
Okay. Michael, thanks for your question. This is an important one, clearly. And first of all, I would confirm the hedging rates we have for the group, group-wide, 70%. Yeah, in the sugar core sugar region, slightly higher. That are the hedging rates, and they are clearly above current market prices. And now also for those who follow Südzucker not so in that detail, let me put that your question in, let me say in a broader context. Yeah, Südzucker is present in many European countries. Yeah, and we face, for example, rather low risks in Belgium, France, or also in UK, where we have access to LNG gas as a really good alternative. In other countries like Poland, we have also alternatives which are available, for example, for coal. And now let's have a closer look at the German situation, because it's a pure legislative German issue you raised. Yeah, And as you know, Michael, this is a dynamic process which has also changed several times in the past days. Yeah? This is a new topic. The discussion started for 2 weeks, and I think we will also see certainly changes in the next 2-3 days. And we are watching the development closely and try as far as possible to prepare for the different scenarios. And so far, different mechanisms have been discussed, yeah, in Germany. One is a price mechanism, which potential impact also on parts of our hedging positions, yeah. And on the other hand, a pay-as-you-go mechanism is discussed that would affect all players equally. And overall, it is important to understand that there are both price and volume risks for us, which are difficult to assess, to quantify from today's perspective. And you will have also gathered from our disclaimer that we have not yet taken these effects into account in the forecast. We cannot rule out that those could be material, but clearly it is a German issue.
Mm-hmm. And if we look into, just as a follow-up on this one, looking at your German hedging, so is this, should we assume this above what you flagged as a basically group-wide hedging rate? Is this a fair assumption?
Sorry, could you repeat?
The German hedge ratio is, should we, yeah, assume this, since this is very sugar centric, is this, yeah, should we assume this being above the 70% group-wide hedging rate? Is this a fair assumption?
No, it's also maybe it's up to 80% hedged.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and
thanks for
that. And clearly also from the volume side, etc., pricing side, you would have to do also an individual factory by factory approach. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It has to also be clear. So this is very difficult to make here assessments. So we have to wait and see what will be the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Understood. The second question is on your special product segment outlook. I mean, you have raised the earnings outlook for this segment. So I wonder whether you can shed some more light on what has essentially changed since you presented the full year outlook back a couple of months ago. So is there any kind of better visibility on cost pass-through or anything? So what have, and if you could basically split this into the various bits and pieces in special products, would be helpful. Where's the major change compared to your previous assumption?
The major change in our assumption is that we have seen in some areas a better than expected production and sales volume development. Yeah. And that we are also confident now that the price increases, which will be to the main part effected from the beginning of H2, will bring, let me say, margins in that special products segment up. That are the main drivers. Yeah, strong. Also, we have to, in some areas which were burdened from the Corona pandemic, yeah, in last year, especially also in our functional food areas, that we have seen then a strong basis effect. Yeah, sales volumes were up in the first quarter. That will phase out because there are stocking effects also on customer base. But it helped also in quarter one and helped therefore also for the full year guidance.
Mm-hmm. And this improvement is true for all the three subsegments you have there in special products, so Freiberger, Beneo, Portion Pack.
The main effect we assume in the functional food ingredients area.
Okay, understood. Then my last question is coming back to sugar, to let's say current growing condition. Let's put it that way. We have seen rather dry weather over the past couple of weeks and months. So even reports in the southern Europe of severe dryness. So I wonder whether you can shed some more light on how you assess basically beet quality right now, whether you see this as a threat already to the beet yield, which we should be aware of. So any color would be helpful. Thanks.
So far, when we put all knowledge from all the regions together, there is still the assumption valid that we will see an average yield in 2022.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much.
But clearly, Michael, the variance is big between the different regions. But in average, we still stick to the average yield of the last 5 years. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one. We have a follow-up question from the line of Oliver Schwarz. Please go ahead.
Look, I unmuted myself. Thank you for taking my two additional questions. And in relation to what Michael just asked, could you perhaps flesh out the volume of gas you are using in your German facilities or have used, let's say, in past financial years, so that we might be able to do some back on the envelope calculations in regards to what a likely impact, especially regarding prices, might be. That would be helpful. That would be my first question.
Oliver, this is really not possible. We have,
okay.
we have really a different mix of energy sources in the different factories. Yeah, and we are working really hard to bring alternatives to those factories which would normally use gas, yeah, to use then heavy fuel or light fuel, and so this is too. We would have to do that exercise case by case, not only for the sugar factories, also for the other factories we have. And so we don't disclose these numbers.
Understood. And lastly, from my side, I think that was the first time I haven't seen any, any part of your guidance alluding to possible corona effects. Obviously, the shutdowns, the lockdowns in China have become less. But what I heard currently, they are on the rise again. And at least the German Minister for Health is painting a rather bleak picture for winter 2022-2023. What makes him more positive today than, let's say, in May or in the periods before?
We still have a disclaimer to Corona in our outlook. Yeah, so there is still some uncertainty, and we are fully right when we are looking on the latest developments. We are in the middle of the summer, and therefore we still flag that Corona is an issue, especially in our business.
Okay, thank you very much.
There are no more questions at this time. I hand back to Nikolai for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you to all of you for all of the questions, muted and unmuted. The muted questions were the best, actually. So thank you. And if you have additional questions, you know that you can call us anytime. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.